At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth.
Another episode of Revolution Recap. We're coming to you after a 2-1 New England win at DC United. It was a wet and cold night at Audi Field, but the Revolution were able to come back from a one-goal deficit, tie the game up on a Gustavo Bo goal, and then take the lead and win the game on a goal by Noel Buck. It was a great win for the Revolution. We're going to get into it today on the podcast. We have listener questions. We have some other thoughts as well. I'm Tanner Ribello. Joined by me today is Sam Mitten of the Blazing Musket. Sam, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. An interesting win. You know, the Reds were able to, I want to say steal a victory, but they were able to get it late in the game. A good win. Always love wins on the road. So a lot to talk about, and happy to be back on Revolution Recap.
Yeah, and don't look now, it's the first place New England Revolution.
Yeah, I mean, after the chaos of last season, it's very nice to see New England at the top of the table, top of the standings at the moment.
Talking about that, we're going to get right into our key takeaways brought to you by our friends at the Rebellion Supporters Group. Be sure to check them out on Twitter at AnyRebellion and their website at AnyRebellion.org. Sam, what is your key takeaway for this game?
I mean, the Revolution kids, they are all right. The Revolution are entering their teenage dirtbag phase. I mean, the fact that you had Noel Buck, Jack Panioto, and Esmir Baraktarevich, I hope I didn't butcher that too much, in the starting lineup was already amazing to see. Really telling of just how far the Revolution have come, that they're able to have this young talent coming up through their system. And now it's not even just that they were there. They also played quite well. Esmir continued to show great skill on the ball and just looking comfortable out there, not afraid to attack opponents and go at defenders. I thought Jack Panioto played good as well. Overall, that early chance with that flick to Bobby Wood was great. And again, it was his first MLS game, first MLS start. Really hard to nitpick and, you know, say he had a bad performance. I thought he looked great. And obviously, then there's Noel Buck. I think he's now at 5 starts this season, which I believe equals his tally from last season of appearances or starts. I might be wrong. But again, getting that goal, getting the 10-point Buck Selly that he mentioned on MLS Gone Wild, it was just a great night to see the youth of the New England Revolution flourishing. It'll be interesting to see what Bruce Arena decides to do with them moving forward.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting, Sam, to see the development of the academy and the investment that's gone to the academy in recent years through the residency program, through putting the academy under the one roof at the training center, letting the academy players play with Revs 2, signing them to Revs 2, and ultimately promoting them through the homegrown player initiative through Major League Soccer. So it's been great to see the academy continue to take strides. I mean, we saw it with Lil Buck, obviously Eshmir, and Jack Panato coming back from Georgetown after playing there for one season. So it's great to see. And I think we all kind of knew this was coming this day in terms of seeing the Revolution having homegrown players play for them. Noel Buck, though, has really taken a jump. Physically, you can tell he's really coming to his own. He looks comfortable out there. You can't tell he's 17 years old and going to math class on Monday. Really has been impressive. And I do want to, I said it a couple of weeks ago, after he'd kind of had a breakout game, and I just encourage everyone to pump the brakes on Noel Buck and even Eshmir and even Jack. I would just say they're young players are going to have ups and downs. I think you've already seen it this year with Noel, where, you know, maybe had to step back in one of the games, but it's all about getting that experience and growing as a player for these guys and just understanding that they are young. They're going to have certainly their downfalls, but, you know, ultimately it is really great to see them perform.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to highlight, too, you know, obviously we'll try and pump the brakes, you know, I think especially with them being so young, you don't want to have expectations super high. But I think definitely Noel Buck deserves to be celebrating the fact that Bruce Arena, you know, just came off the postgame press conference and said through 60 minutes, he was the best player on the pitch. And it's been talked about so much, just the physical maturation he's been able to go through. And he's just becoming a more complete player. So I definitely think, you know, don't want to have expectations too high. But definitely credit to Noel Buck. He had a great game against DC United.
And my key takeaway in this game is actually the substitutions and who came on the field first in this game. It was Josie Altidore coming on in this game prior to Giacomo Verone. And I think it's really interesting. We've talked about on this podcast a lot with Verone, playing off the bench, coming off the bench, not getting a ton of minutes, really struggling to come into his own here with the Revolution. But I think it was really interesting to see Altidore come in before Verone in this game. I think Verone continues to struggle to get on the field, and we see it. Altidore has struggled to get on the field up until now. But with Verone, he's not really taking those steps forward in getting on the field and having success with the team. And it gets more and more concerning, Sam. I don't know what you think about Verone at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I actually asked Bruce about that after the game, just basically, you know, the decision to bring Josie off first and just what he saw from him. And, you know, he gave glowing remarks, and even talking to DeJuan Jones too, he said that Josie really gave them a spark off the bench. So we'll be interesting to see how that goes. I personally was definitely a little bit, you know, shocked, a bit surprised to see Josie come on in favor of Verone. I think it's telling, but I think at some point you're going to have to get your DP striker on the field. Just continuing to have him on the bench isn't a great look. And I think it was the Houston game. I forget what game it was, but one of the more recent games, Bruce said that Giacomo is just a player like everyone else. The label doesn't mean anything. He has to earn his spot. But from the outside looking in, having your DP striker coming off the bench, and we're now 5-6 games in the season, it's not the best look. And, you know, whether it be Gustavo Bow continuing to age, you know, eventually possibly heading to Argentina, whether it be losing players like Jorge Petrovic or DeJuan Jones, you're going to need a guy like Giacomo Verone to start performing well, getting to that starting 11 and scoring goals. So I think it's quite telling, especially bringing him on so late in the game. It's really hard for him to build momentum and kind of show what he's capable of. Obviously, you want to get the goal, so you brought him in late, but he didn't really get a large opportunity to show what he can do on the field. And then we saw Noel Buck at the goal, so I guess it worked out. But it's going to be really interesting to see how Bruce Arena handles this, you know, having the DP striker on the bench, because, you know, Bobby Wood has played quite well. Obviously, Gustavo Bow is now your leading scorer, so shout out to him. But it's a real rough look seeing Giacomo Verone continue to come off the bench. I understand it's a month into the season. Ideally, I think we'd like to see him in the starting 11.
Yeah, I think it's really, really difficult for him to come into form or prove himself in a 5-minute run out or sort of the limited minutes that he's getting. This isn't new from Bruce Arena. Obviously, with Adam Buchsa, there was a period of time where he was coming off the bench early in his tenure, and he was able to figure it out, was able to score goals. Veroni's a different player than Buchsa, completely different player. And I know it's easy to say, well, he's going to score one goal and all of a sudden he's going to figure it out. But he's not getting that opportunity at this time to really do that. He's not being put in the position to have that success. And I think with Altidore, you know, there is that pedigree there. He has had success in Major League Soccer. Obviously, Bruce knows him really, really well. There is a high salary figure that comes with Altidore. How much are the Revs paying versus Toronto? We don't really know what that share is at this point. But, you know, when I saw that they were bringing back Altidore for this season, a lot of things ran through my mind. But I think ultimately Bruce wanted to give him another opportunity. And I think that's why he's here. So I was not shocked to see Altidore get minutes. I think if he's here, you have to find ways to get him on the field. I think one of the issues the Revolution have right now is they have too many strikers between Gustavo, between Bobby Wood. With Altidore, you also have Renix, you have Veroni. So there's a lot of players that can play similar positions at this point for them. And they're just going to have to figure out what works and what doesn't work. I know the big conversation with Gustavo has been, where is he plays? His best position on the wing, or is it as a striker? And I think at this point it is as a striker. You know, he's having success right now. That ball that Carlos Hill played to him was beautiful, but you just look at the reception that Gustavo had and the way he played it in, it's so smart, and he's the best option up top right now for this team. I don't know if him and Veroni complement each other, and I think that's what they're going to have to figure out. Is it Bobby Wood or is it Altidore? And I actually, in the back of my head, I do think Altidore is the better 1-2 combo with Gustavo. It's just something they're going to have to work out, and if it's not Veroni, you're going to have to make a decision, because that designated player slot is valuable. It is a commodity in Major League Soccer. You don't have a lot of them. You have three of them. So, yeah, he has to earn his spot like every other player, and it's fair for Bruce to say that because I think it's true. But at some point, you may want to use that DP on another position on your roster. And I think the longer this goes on, the sooner you might have to make that decision.
Yeah, and, you know, just kind of talking about that DP spot, obviously we saw improvements in the midfield. You know, now we're at a point, obviously it's kind of due to injury, but Tommy McNamara, I would imagine, is going to see a lot of time off the bench compared to starting. There also were improvements in the back line. You brought in Dave Romney, and that moves looked quite well. So there was times where you thought, oh, maybe you could go the DP center back route, or you could go DP midfielder. And that still could be the case, obviously, you know. You have these talented players, but there's the possibility that now European teams could come calling if they're continuing to play that well. Obviously, it's very early. I'm partially saying this because I just saw a quote from Charles Baum, who was down in D.C., who said he talked with Noel Buck, and Buck mentioned he has a U.K. passport, and he could go now if he wanted to. So that's quite interesting. But I definitely think you're going to have to get Giacomo Veroni out there at some point and just give him a run out so that he can prove if, you know, he's capable, if he's going to be that striker you can rely on. Because if you just give him these 5-minute outings, it's really hard to expect him to all of a sudden turn on the Jets, score a late goal, and really prove that he should be starting.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting that Noel Buck has the UK passport. I think we hear about all players at this point. And it's really smart for a young player to have that opportunity, because it's not hard to envision a player like Noel Buck getting that kind of opportunity. He is so young, and the fact that he is showing, you know, this level of skill in Major League Soccer, it's easy to envision a player like him being moved on overseas. You know, it's a good problem to have for the Revolution, because Major League Soccer is becoming a selling league, and it's good that the Revolution are sort of getting a footing in that. In doing a homegrown player, transferring them overseas is that next step, because they've done the Dejan Buchanan, did the Matt Turner. So now it's, you know, can you sell a homegrown player now to Europe? So it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, and, you know, also too, just this offseason, there was the possibility of Buck training with someone like the Tottenham Spurs, which would have been absolutely amazing for him. But obviously that broke down. We had Esmir Baraktarevic go over to AZ Alkmaar. So these European teams are kind of sniffing around these young players, and obviously the Revolution have been able to make a name for themselves in this international transfer market. So obviously it's just an interesting quandary of being able to sell these players to big clubs and being able to market that to players you want to acquire, but also it could affect the talent that you're able to put out. It's just that balance you have to strike, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see what ends up happening with Yakima Veroni and obviously just how these young players are going to be able to possibly maintain this level of play that they've kind of been able to start off with.
Before we started recording this podcast, Sam, I had this, you had said something about, you know, writing your recaps and changing it the last second because the way the game ended up playing out, right? And I think it was something that went through my mind was thinking about 2021 and the success the Revolution had in winning late in games. And, you know, it's a trait of a great team. And they were able to do it against this DC United team, which on the road, which I thought was most impressive. And then the prior game against Nashville, so Gustavo Bo in the 52nd minute. So these are back-to-back games where the Revolution found the winning goal in the second half and one goal wins. And, you know, it's an important trait to be able to win these one-goal games. This was something that happened a lot in 2021, a lot of these one-goal wins. And it's good to see this team, at least at this point in the season, having that same success.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we've noticed, you know, whether it be coaches like Richie Williams, I think even Bruce Arena said it, and as well as players. There were games last year that we saw where the Revs were unable to squeak out wins or unable to kind of almost steal wins. You know, when it came down to having ties, it would usually go the other way. They would give up a goal and they would, you know, lose the 3 points. In 2021, no matter the circumstances, no matter the time left, they were able to somehow squeeze out, steal these wins. So even, you know, joking in the media chat, I'm like, this is a 2021-esque win. Obviously, I don't know, and I wouldn't say that I think the Revs are going to go out and win the Supporters Shield right now. You know, it's a possibility, but I'm not ready to say that just yet. But just being able to pull out these wins in recent games and also just able to secure wins and not have wins turned into draws or draws turn into losses, I think it's a key factor, and we're starting to see that this team is able to find ways to win. And when it comes down to how close the Eastern Conference can be, a lot of talented teams, obviously the playoffs have been expanded, but you know, every point matters. So I think the fact that this team is able to pull out wins is really, you know, promising. It's what you want to see from a team, and also shows that they could be a contender in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's obviously March 25th. Yes, they're in first place, but it's really just like the bedrock, right, of what you're building your team on. And, you know, having these wins builds confidence. It shows so poise and grit. There were some sketchy moments in this game. I don't want to say there wasn't. There were some goal line stands. There were some goal line deflections. Petrovic came up huge on a couple moments. So, you know, it was hairy at points in this game, but they were able to see out the result. So it's a good sign, and it's a good building block going forward for the team. Before we jump into listener questions, I wanted to take a minute to talk about the sponsor of this podcast, Glosso Kits. Glosso Kits is the go-to place to get unique vintage jerseys to your home. The passion of the beautiful game does not have borders, and neither does their selection. And if you head to glossokits.com today, you can get 15% off your order. 15%, guys. It's basically free, but it's 50% off. Use the code REVSRECAP, that's REVSRECAP at checkout, to get 15% off your order. They're basically giving it away. It's 15% off if you use the code REVSRECAP at GlossoKits.com. You got to go get your kits. Great supporter of the podcast. We appreciate them sponsoring us. Make sure to support the pod by going to GlossoKits.com. We have a lot of listener questions to get to today, Sam. Let's start off with our friend Randy. He said, all the kids look pretty good. Between them, Polster, and Blessing, who starts next week, assuming everyone is healthy?
Well, yeah, I think we found out from Jeff Lemieux that Latif Blessing was cut during Thursday's training session and required stitches, so that's why he didn't travel. Obviously, when it first came out, it was a bit concerning, but glad we were able to get that clarification. I would definitely say that Noel Buck is going to start, and I would probably say the same thing about Matt Polster. I think it does depend on a guy like Dylan Barrero, who's, you know, on international duty. I believe he has a game coming up. I believe it's during the week. It could be Monday or Tuesday. It could be Sunday. No, it's definitely not Sunday. I believe Monday or Tuesday. So being able to play that game and then come back to New England for a game on Saturday, international travel, there's the possibility that he comes off the bench, I would say. You know, he could start, but definitely early in the season, you don't want to wear your guys out. So I think possibly we could see someone like Esmir Baratarevic, kind of get that start on the wing again. That's probably who I would go with. I love Jack P, but I think he kind of needs some more maturing, whether it's just be coming off the bench or, you know, possibly getting minutes with Revs too. Definitely a promising performance. But if I had to give my guess right now, definitely Noel Buck, and I think we could see Esmir get another start out there.
Yeah, I think Noel Buck at this point is pretty much penciled into the starting lineup. It's been like that for the last five games, and it's going to continue to be that way. I think Carlos' status, whether or not he can start next week, obviously Latif Blessing, and like you mentioned, Dylan Barrero too. I think maybe you see Barrero up top instead of Bobby Wood. But I think out of the youngsters specifically, I'd imagine Noel's going to start, and maybe Eshmer is off the bench or Jack P's off the bench. But we also have to note that Revs 2, their season starts tomorrow as well. So you're going to have some young minutes for younger players that way as well too, if Bruce is just looking to get players more minutes. Next question, we have John Plinkington on Twitter. He said, what are your thoughts on Bobby Wood tonight? He kind of feels like a Teal Bunbury to me right now.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Bobby Wood, I think he just has solid hold-up play. I was impressed. I think it was either early in the second half or late in the first. He was able to kind of skirt by a defender, showed some good moves. But I think ideally he's someone you'd want to come off the bench. Again, you would want someone like Giacomo Veroni to be getting the start. But I think for the season so far, he's been quite impressive. You have to be happy with his play. Seems like he just has that high motor, that work rate, like you mentioned, someone like Teal Bunbury. So I thought it was a solid performance. Definitely wasn't anything amazing. He put the work in, but being able to have someone like Gustavo Bow, he was just able to all of a sudden turn it on and get that goal. And I think ideally you would want Giacomo Veroni beside him. But again, can't fault Bobby Wood for his performance. Hardworking guy, and he was able to put in a solid shift this game.
Yeah, I think Teal Bunbury is the perfect comp for Bobby Wood in terms of role on this team. Bobby Wood brings, veteran experience. I think off the bench, like you said, that's probably where he should be if all things go according to plan. Obviously, you still have Altidore out there too. But I think the Revolution really, since Teal left, they needed that veteran forward off the bench that could come in, provide that high work rate, and potentially put one in the back of the net. And I think Bobby Wood fits that role for them. Expectations. I think the one thing to note with Bobby Wood is we don't really know what his salary hit's going to be, so that could ultimately determine some of the overall thoughts on him if it's a high wage bill. But at this point in time, it looks like it was a home run acquisition by Bruce Arena to bring in Bobby Wood. Next one, we got Jake Catanese from the Blazing Musket. Scale of 1 to 10, rate the any Revs level of thievery. You may substitute actual levels of misdemeanor, larceny, felony, robbery, but not calling the work number. Level of thievery, I'll give it a 7 here. How about you, Sam?
I think it's interesting because, especially at the beginning of the game, you're like, the Revs should have entered halftime up a goal. Like, they should have had the lead. They really, at the end of the half, they just turned it off. I think Benteke got behind Henry Kessler. There was some poor defending. And it seemed like all the momentum was going DC's way. Then the second half, it's a completely different story. The Reds are just able to fight back. So to use Jake's terminology, I'd probably label this a misdemeanor. I wouldn't, definitely not a felony. Definitely not felony grand theft auto of any sorts. But I definitely do think they were just able to turn it up. And especially late in the game, that Noel Buck goal just came out of nowhere, bouncing off some defenders. Weird kind of deflection. So there was some level of thievery. Nothing crazy, though. So I'd probably label it a misdemeanor.
Yeah, in the first half, there were certainly some... The Revolution were the better of the two teams. I think there's some really excellent scoring opportunities. But like you said, in the second half, really felt like it went DC's way at times. There was some moments there at the end where they very well could have conceded a goal. So definitely some thievery on the Revolution's part in this game. We have Chris Feloukas, Revs Recap host, who was on the pod. He had his return last week, along with he was alongside Greg Johnstone for that. He said, Buck displayed his 10-point Buck Selly today. Obviously, he was inspired by MLS Gone Wild. With Jack P and Esmir, there are two more young guys to influence. Who are we targeting, and what Selly are we pitching?
I mean, first off, let's just talk about the celly. Great celly. So always love to see great celebrations. I just remember Tajon Buchanan with the backflips. Absolutely amazing. You have DeJuan Jones with the Naruto run. But I'm just going to take this point to highlight Esmir Barakhtarovic, and just in the sense that, one, had a great game. I've just been really impressed with his ability just to exude confidence. I remember, I think it was his first game, he nutmegged the defender and went right by them. And he just continues to show that great skill that we saw in that moment. And I think it's why a club like AZ Alkmaar was looking at him. So again, another solid performance from Esmir. I do want to point out, if we're talking celebrations, Chris, I'm not going to lie. Don't know if I exactly understand your question, but if this is what you want, I got it for you. I noticed that Esmir just has Esmir on the back of his shirt. One, very cool. So shout out to him. I would love to know the story behind that. Maybe it's just because you can't fit Barakhtarovic. But no matter what, if you just have one name and it's not your last name on your shirt, very cool. So I think he could have the classic point to the back. You know, might be a little too showy. Bruce Arena might not like it, but I think that would be a quality celly.
Yeah, I'm not going to even come up with the celly proposal. But what are your thoughts on Carlos Heel having his full name on the back?
I think it's cool. I think it's definitely necessary. I feel so bad whenever I tweet stuff that's mostly about Carlos and I just tweet Heel. And it's like, Nacho is on the team. I need to differentiate. So I definitely think with Nacho on the team, it's nice. You know, you could have the C, but I think Carlos Heel just hits different. So definitely nice to see that. I have to remember what Nacho wore if he just went N heel. It would be cool just to have Nacho. That would be pretty cool. So I don't know if they printed the kits yet, but Nacho, if you hear this, maybe just go Nacho.
Yeah, I think with the longer player name, sometimes you get the bent back. If you ever seen like on a baseball jersey, when you have a long name, they curve the last name and they make the print smaller. So I think on Eshmir's part, very smart to just go with Esmir.
Yeah, shout out Jared Saltalamacchia, best jersey ever.
That's true. Oh, yeah, he is definitely bent on the back. We have a question from Always Away Days. It says, do we feel like we're monitoring Carlos's time so when it comes down to the second half of the season leading into the playoffs, he isn't burned out?
I do think that's an interesting point. Obviously, there's been, especially last season and prior seasons, the Revs have really relied on Carlos Heel. I do think these last 2 weeks, it's pretty much been due to injury and him just kind of having, I believe, Seth McCumber, reported that it was a hamstring issue. So I would say right now it's more being careful, especially down in D.C. The turf did not look great. And there, it looked like there was some precipitation as well, too. So it was definitely a sort of a risk to bring him on, but I think bringing him on off the bench was a much smarter decision than playing him for however many minutes in the starting 11. But it will be interesting to see now that you do have this depth, you have these youngsters, you know, you have a Dylan Barrero, how Bruce manages the minutes. But I do think this team's going to go all out. I don't necessarily think we're going to see Carlos Heel dealing with load management. I think you're going to see a lot more of Carlos. It's just right now dealing with that hamstring injury, it can be, you know, a real problem. We talked with Andrew Farrell and he said there were so many times he dealt with something similar this preseason and he wanted to come back, came back and ended up re-aggravating it. So with these hamstring injuries, you can feel good, but you really have to take the time to rest. So I think when it comes down to Carlos, it's taking care of that injury. But once he's 100% ready to go, the Revs are going to continue to throw him out there because he's one of the best players in MLS.
Yeah, I think you can't put a star player in bubble wrap. You know, I don't think you can have it take it easy or tell them to take it easy because that kind of takes away from their greatness, right? It takes away from their ability to execute at the highest level. So, you know, I think it's smart to sort of manage Carlos's minutes in the sense that, okay, you don't start him tonight. I think we have a question from someone else on the field quality there. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the field quality obviously wasn't great down there in DC. So I think it was very smart. When Carlos came on the field, though, I was like, maybe do you want to play him in this situation given the weather, you know, given the field? But obviously serves up basically a goal on a platter there for Gustavo Bo. Immediately ties the game within like a minute of coming on the field. So clearly the right move by Bruce Arena. I don't think you can, like I said, tell Carlos to take it easy. The only thing you can do is, hey, you're a little banged up. All right, we'll have you off the bench today. So when he's out in the field, he's going 100%. But yeah, there could be some minutes restrictions, I think, which would be perfectly fine. But I don't think he's the kind of player that wants to sit on the bench. So we have another question from Steve McGrogan. He did ask about Altidore and Veroni, but we already covered that. But he asked, are we happy with Josie's contributions in this game? And is he doing what is expected of him?
I mean, I think that's kind of a loaded question in the sense that he's obviously making quite a ton of money in terms of the amount he's getting paid by Toronto and the amount he's being paid by the Revs. But I think ideally you want someone like Josie coming off the bench, kind of similar to Bobby Wood, you know, being able to have high energy. Obviously, he's a physical guy, just able to wear down defenders. And I think if you're looking at that, he really did his job. Like I said before, Bruce Arena was happy with him. DeJuan Jones was happy with him. So I think overall it was a good performance from Josie. I don't think he'll be on SportsCenter or anything like that, but I think he did what Bruce Arena wanted him to do and, you know, what was expected of him. And it's going to be real interesting to see how it goes in the sense how he continues to get minutes. I think, again, ideally he would be coming off the bench, but don't think you can really fault Josie for his performance. He did what was asked. He, you know, obviously we'd love to start seeing him banging goals left and right, but if he's able to wear down defenders, kind of open things up for someone like Gustavo Bow or Carlos Heal or whoever is on the attack, you should be happy with what he's able to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, Josie did his job in this game. Drew some fouls. You know, he was fine. He did what was needed of him. I think it's very difficult for him in this situation. You know, at this stage in his career, I don't think he's particularly happy coming off the bench, and who would be? I just think he needs more minutes, right? He needs more minutes to figure it out, to figure out what his role is on this team. But I think, like I said earlier, the striker group is just a little overcrowded at this moment. They can't even find a place for Giacomo Veroni right now. So Altidore, certainly in that group, I think in terms of his performance in this game, he did fine. We have a Dolan question here. We actually have two. It says, now that we are all refreshed on how it looks, what's the opinion on Audi Field hosting the All-Star game?
I'm just going to use this as a platform, if you don't mind, Tanner. So purchase tickets for the the Blazing Musket trip to the All-Star game. And I'm not going to blame this completely on Ticketmaster. I'm probably going to blame it 99.9% on Ticketmaster. Prices were absolutely absurd. I mean, we're talking resellers, $600 for like upper level seats. And it was just berserk. Shout out to a different platform where I was able to buy tickets and I did not have to sell my kidney. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes. I'll pivot into talking about how the turf didn't exactly look great. It also kind of seemed crowded on the sidelines. I know Dolan is probably worried about how that will be for his photos, but it will be interesting to see. Obviously happy to see our boy Matt Turner make his return. We'd see Wayne Rooney coach the MLS All-Stars. A lot of star-studded talent, but it'll be interesting to see how the field holds up. Obviously you have an NWSL team, MLS team, and XFL team, so I think it will be interesting. But I just wanted to point out that Ticketmaster is not the best platform, and maybe MLS should have looked for someone else besides people who are absolutely skyrocketing ticket prices for the consumer. But I hope that answers Dolan's question, but maybe I just wanted to go on a personal diatribe.
Yeah, I'd agree on Ticketmaster, unless they want to sponsor an episode of Revolution Recap.
If they want to sponsor or Revolution Recap, I think Ticketmaster is the best.
Exactly. So until you sponsor us, Ticketmaster, you are the worst. but you know, the field looked awful. It really looked bad, and especially with the workload that's going to be on that field, like you mentioned, I can't imagine it getting any better, especially when you play American football. When you play American football on a field, on a grass field, it's going to tear it up. It's going to get really, really messy. It's going to be very hard to maintain throughout the coming months. So I imagine that field's going to get worse and worse throughout. I love Washington, D.C. It's a great city. Great food, love to walk around, but that field is rough. I'm not a proponent of artificial turf, but I think that field might need it. I'm excited for the All-Star game. We have Asher Blake on Twitter saying, I know it's a bit early, but how committed to the Open Cup could this team be? Do you see us going all in and try for a finals run, or do we rest people for the regular season and just focus on the postseason? Just wanted to get some thoughts on the Open Cup, and is it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, we got Bruce Arena leading this team, so I don't know how far or how intense they will be in the tournament. But again, Bruce Arena is not playing the kids. Excuse me. So now we're seeing, you know, maybe a little change from Bruce, but I would not expect an intense side being put out in the U.S. Open Cup. I think Bruce Arena wants to bring an MLS Cup to New England. It's kind of the one thing left on his checklist of amazing accomplishments to do. So I wouldn't expect too much. Maybe Leeds Cup could provide the opportunity for the Revs to kind of sort of go all out. But as great as the U.S. Open Cup is, I don't expect a Bruce Arena-led team to go all out for that trophy.
Yeah, I'd be very, very, very shocked if Bruce Arena went all out for that trophy because he didn't go all out for Champions. So I don't know. I just feel like he's going to, I wouldn't say mail it in, but you have the depth now to maybe start Giacomo Ferroni in that game, or, you know, give Justin Renix or some of these younger players a shot in that game. So I think they have the depth to be competitive in Open Cup. I think it would be a mistake to play Carlos Hill or Gustavo Bo in that game, or even Jordy Petrovic. I think, you know, you rest some of your key players and then you see how you do. You see how far you can go with, you know, maybe Altidore as your starting striker, right? You just see and play it out. And if you get into the position where, hey, if you win this, you're in the U.S. Open Cup final, maybe you start Carlos Hill in that position. But I think at this time, like, I couldn't imagine Bruce taking it very seriously other than an opportunity to give minutes to other players. But, yeah, situationally, if you get in the position where, hey, you win this game and then you have a chance to lift the trophy, then I could see him going all out.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been talking about it, Giacomo Ferroni struggling to get minutes. This could be that opportunity. You know, usually you wouldn't want your DP striker going out there. Like you mentioned, Gustavo Bo, Carlos Hill, probably don't want them going all out in those games. But with a guy like Giacomo Ferroni struggling to get minutes, hopefully that is solved soon. But if it isn't, using the U.S. Open Cup as a way to get him minutes could, you know, be beneficial to the team.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if he can't get it in MLS play. But I think the Revolution could be in a tough spot if they're relying on U.S. Open Cup to get Ferroni minutes. We have a question from Hussam Kouif. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Sorry to anyone's name that I've mispronounced today on the show. Do you think Arena is convinced now that Altidore's first appearance of the season should be his last as well?
Oof. I mean, I would say no, that's probably not the case. I would expect more Jozy Altidore. Not in the sense that he'll be starting games or whatever it may be, but he's going to be a presence off the bench. He's going to be, you know, in presence in games for the U.S. Open Cup, like we just mentioned. He's going to continue to get runouts, especially if Giacomo Ferroni continues to not get minutes. So, yeah, I would expect to see more Jozy Altidore. Maybe he will surprise us all and we'll start to see some goals, and that would be great. I would love to see that, but definitely wouldn't expect Jozy Altidore to just not play anymore.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the team has invested too much time and money to just walk away from Jozy Altidore after, you know, 20 minutes against DC United. I would also continue to kind of restate, like, I think they just have too many strikers and too many like-minded players at the top there, and I don't know how Altidore slots in. Yeah, I think off the bench, though, if you have Jozy Altidore coming in, that's a pretty good weapon to have, so I don't think they're moving on from him. I don't think they can really move that contract. Maybe they can find a loan like they did last year. But yeah, at this point, they're kind of stuck with him and have to see what you have in him. So you got to give him the opportunity and you got to play him to do that. We have a question from Tim on Twitter. He said he had a couple different things that we've talked about already. But he said, what's our best 11, assuming that Ferroni does find his form? That's a hard one.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think the big question is, once Andrew Farrell reaches full fitness, do we see Bruce transition to maybe a three-center back line? I don't know if we see that. So just based off what we know right now, and hopefully Giacomo Ferroni is able to find his footing, I think you do have someone like Ferroni and Bo up top. I think you have Dylan Barrero, Polster, Carlos Heel. And I'll give the nod to Latif. Actually, I don't know. I really want to put Noel Buck in the starting 11. I think you get Noel Buck into the starting 11. I'll say that. No apologies to Latif Blessing. But I think you kind of have those guys in the midfield. And then the back line is the back line that it is with Georgi Petrovic in net, I think. You know, I wrote that there was definitely some struggles for the back line. You had it in the first goal and just it's kind of some sloppy play. You saw it too against LAFC, but it's really hard to be too harsh seeing that it is LAFC and they're just so talented and so overpowered. But I think really this back line, we should expect to see a lot of it. And, you know, maybe Andrew Farrell comes off the bench, but I think it could be difficult for him to find minutes. And it'll be interesting to see just how Bruce Arena handles Andrew Farrell, because obviously he's been with the club for so long, been such a crucial piece of that back line. To all of a sudden see him just go to the bench would be quite interesting, and interesting to see how Farrell handles it and just overall how the team handles it. So I definitely think that the back line and Petrovic, you suspect to see them. Hopefully we start to see Giacomo Veroni and Bo up top. And that midfield is going to be really interesting to see just how Bruce handles the young kids, as well as guys like Latif Blessing who's come in, and obviously a veteran like Matt Polster.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult, and it's been difficult, I think, since the season started to really project what this team looks like at their best. I think you have to assume that Veroni and Bo are in the lineup. So is Carlos Heel, Dylan Barrero, Matt Polster, Brandon Bae, DeJuan Jones, Jordi Petrovic. And that's really the only locks here, right? You have Noel Buck, and then obviously the center backs too, Latif Blessing, and it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. I think the center back group is interesting. I still have a hard time envisioning them going to three center backs. A really hard time envisioning that. I think Henry Kessler has proven this year that he's taken that step forward. I think he's looked good for the most part. I think he's outplayed Dave Romney overall as well. I think Dave Romney has been fine too. Don't get me wrong, but I think Kessler just outplayed him. So I think the question is it Farrell or Romney at this point? And obviously Farrell has a long history of being available for this club, being a fan favorite, you know, and playing at a high level as well, and having a good combination with Henry Kessler. But that being said, Dave Romney is a very good center back too. So it's all good problems to have for Bruce Arena. You have three starting center backs for two positions, and I don't think they're going to three center backs. So it's interesting. Then you look in the midfield, and Noel Buck's played very well. I think it's very difficult to sit Noel Buck at this point. Matt Polster as well. I think when Tommy Mack comes back, he's going to be, you know, coming off the bench. But Latif Blessing is a very talented player. In pockets this year, he's looked very good. We know he's a talented player. I just don't know where he fits in this. And does Noel Buck slide back? Because he is 17 years old, which is perfectly fine for him to come off the bench. So we don't know. We can give our thoughts.
We know nothing.
We know nothing. You know, and Bruce will tell us that he knows nothing too. So I think it's one of those things
long
that
season, yeah, long season.
Long season. There's going to be injuries. Things are going to happen. Play will improve. Play will decline for certain players. And things just tend to shake out. Not everyone's going to be available for each match. So the best 11 changes every week, in my opinion. And it always has. It always going to depend on who you're playing and where you're playing and what the environment is. So the best 11 always changes. I know that doesn't really answer the question, and it's kind of dancing around it.
We tried.
That is all the listener questions we had today. Thank you for everyone that submitted a listener question. I apologize again if I butchered anyone's name. Names are hard, Sam.
Hey, you know, the people on Apple TV called Noel Buck Noah Buck, so I think we should send some grace to you, Tanner.
I think I'll get a pass then. Where can people find you, Sam? Where can they follow you?
You can definitely follow all the work at The Blazing Musket. You know, definitely check us out at our website, www.theblazingmusket.com. And also, too, follow The Blazing Musket on Twitter at Blazing Musket. You can follow myself at Sam_Minton22 on Twitter. And you can also, you know what, just follow me on Twitter. You don't need to follow me on Instagram. But we do have a Blazing Musket Instagram, so definitely make sure to check us out there. Dolan is posting all of his photos there. And once again, Tanner, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be on Revolution Recap. Hopefully, once again, we can chop it up, maybe with Greg, maybe with Sean as well, too. but always happy to be on Revolutionary Cap.
Yeah, it was great to have you, Sam. You can follow me on Twitter at Tanner Bello. Of course, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Revolution Recap. Please rate and review us on iTunes. And in fact, unrate us, unsubscribe to us, and then resubscribe and re-rate on us. Give us that 5-star. It helps us out a lot. Everything helps us. Comments, follow us on Twitter. Like it all is great. Also, listen to us on Spotify, any other place you listen to podcasts, because it's not just iTunes. I know everyone listens everywhere. Make sure to check out our friends at The Blazing Musket, as well as my Revolution Notebook. I will have one for this week, breaking down all my thoughts, additional thoughts that you couldn't just get here on the podcast. So make sure to check that out as well. Thanks for listening. We'll be back after the New York City FC game with another podcast.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.